Well, I saw something this past week that I hadn't seen in a while, and it brought me a sense of joy. You might be surprised at what it was, but it was the yellow blinking lights in the school zones. Now, I'm not excited to have to slow back down to 25 or whatever it is. But you know, when school starts, things kind of get back to normal. People are done with their traveling and summer vacations, and you know who you're going to see on the Lord's Day. And when school's in session, we kind of settle in and get back to work. And I'm excited about that today. Growth is exciting too, isn't it? When our church grows, as we've learned today, and welcome these five new members, that ought to be exciting to us, that our family is getting larger. That's what the Lord wants. And to welcome these to be a part of our work brings me great joy today. I am a little perplexed because I thought Tori Bowman would take more time to look around at other churches, but we're glad that she's decided come be with us too. Welcome to Tori and to all who have identified with us today. I'm going to be reading in Matthew chapter 10, and I want to invite your attention to the reading this morning. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to read verses 24 through 33 if you'd like to follow along in your Bible. Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 beginning. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he become as his teacher and the slave his master. If they have called the head of the house Beelzebul, how much more the members of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul. Rather fear him who is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent? And yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Therefore, do not fear. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before heaven, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. If I were to ask you this morning to name the three words that Jesus said most often to his disciples, what would you guess? Three words that Jesus said most often to his own disciples. We might be tempted to think that that would be something like, love one another. Because they didn't do that very well at the start. They were too busy competing with one another. Which one of us is the greatest? Which one of us can sit at Jesus' right and left hand when he comes in his kingdom? And so we might think that Jesus most often settled the dispute by saying, love one another. We might think that the words Jesus most often said to his disciples were something like, are you serious? You still don't understand? You still don't get what I've been teaching and what you've seen me doing? And are you serious? But according to what's been revealed in the New Testament, three words Jesus most often said to his own disciples three times in the very text we just read. Did you catch them? Do not fear. Do not fear. And it wasn't just Jesus saying that to the 12. Those words are all throughout the Bible. What did Moses say to the Israelites when they were pinned against the Red Sea and the approaching army of Pharaoh? They said, "You brought us out of Egypt to die here." And Moses said, "Do not fear." What did Caleb say to the Israelites when he came back with the other spies and the report was the cities are too large, the people are too big, they're too fortified, we can't go in and conquer the land? And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, said, "Do not fear." What did Joshua say before he led the conquest of Canaan? We've got a new leader. Moses is dead. Now Joshua is leading us. He said, "Do not fear. God's already given it to us." What did Elisha say to his servant when they came out of the house where they were staying in Dothan and the army of Syria had surrounded them? And he said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And the prophet of God said, "Do not fear." What do all of those imply? That there will be times when God's people are going to be afraid. Afraid of what's going to happen to us. Afraid for the future. Do not fear. Trust. Believe, but do not fear. The word Jesus used in this text in Matthew 10 is the Greek word phobio, to address all of the phobias that we might have. But he's not talking about claustrophobia. He's not talking about arachnophobia. He's not talking about acrophobia, that's the fear of heights. I don't worry about that one. He's not talking about these different phobias. He's talking about spiritual fear. Well, what is it that causes us to fear? What makes us afraid? What makes it that we need to hear this familiar refrain? Do not fear. Well, first of all, we are afraid of the unknown. I don't know what's going to happen, and so I'm afraid. And Jesus was addressing his disciples whom he was about to send out. Sometimes we refer to this as the limited commission because they're told to go preach only to the household of Israel. They're not being sent into all the world yet, just to their own people. And he anticipated fear. What if they reject us? What if they don't want to hear what we're saying? What if they oppose us the same way they oppose you? And so Jesus said, "Do not fear. Don't be afraid of the unknown." We are on the threshold of starting school. Some maybe a new school. Starting a new job, moving to a new place. There's so many unknowns. Do not fear. For in the things we don't know, We have to be reminded God does. And so we trust Him. I had to go into Best Buy recently. I was having a technical issue. And so I went to the Geek Squad. You're familiar with them? And I laid out my case to this guy across the counter wearing his black shirt and the Geek Squad emblem right here. And after I had said everything I knew and all the problems I was having and waited for his great advice, he looked across at me and said, "I have no idea." You ever felt that way? I have no idea what to do. I don't know. Do not fear. God does. He knows. Do you honestly think there is ever an instance where something happens and God sitting on His throne says, "Well, I didn't see that coming. What are we going to do now? I've never seen anything like that before." He knows. Do not fear. We might be tempted in the unknown to abandon what we do know and only to focus and concentrate on the things that are unanswerable. Jesus said, "You better return to what you do know." And it doesn't matter how people treat you. Those things are going to be brought to light. Those things that have been done in secret, God will disclose them. But you keep returning to that what you do know. Don't fear them who can kill the body. Rather, fear Him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. Lest there be any misunderstanding this morning, the admonition, "Do not fear," is not talking about godly fear and reverence for Him. The fear of the Lord better be there. But do you see, when we do that right, when we honor and reverence God and fear Him, then we will hear His voice saying, "I know. God, I don't know what to do. I know. God, I'm not sure where to turn. I know." Do not fear. I understand when people say, "I'm afraid because of the direction we're going. I'm afraid for my children and my grandchildren." I understand. What I'm saying to you this morning is, do not fear. God knows. We don't, but He does. Do not fear. What causes us to fear? We fear the unknown. Secondly, we fear what we can't control. Things that are beyond our power and ability to control. And so we fear that. It's not in my hands. It's in someone else's. Turn from here to John, the 6th chapter. And notice another instance with Jesus and His disciples. And Him telling them not to be afraid. John chapter 6, we'll start reading at verse 45. Verse 16. Now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, and after getting into a boat, they started to cross the sea to Capernaum, and it had already become dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. And the sea began to be stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. When therefore they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they beheld Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near to the boat, and they were frightened. They're in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. It's dark. There's a storm. And it's causing the boat to be rocked by the wind and the waves. And they tried of their own power, rowing 3 or 4 miles. Can you imagine how exhausting that would have been? How frustrated they would have been. And then they saw Jesus coming to them on the water. And that scared them even more. I was visiting with Marty Pickup one year when he was here for the lectures. And I was just asking him about his time here in the preacher training program. And he described what is a familiar scene to all of us, one of the tropical storms that came through. And he and Brother Bowman were at the church building working. And they got a call. They had to come pick up Norma at the school. It was flooded there at Deepwater. And so he said they drove over to the school and went as far as they could in the car until the water was coming up to the tires. And he said, I saw Brother Bowman get out, and he was going to walk to the school. And he said, I sure was disappointed, because all before that day, he said, I thought D. Bowman could walk on water. Well, the disciples of Jesus were not disappointed. They saw him. They thought it was a ghost until they heard his familiar voice. And he said to them, verse 20, it is I. Do not be afraid. Do you know how it is I can also be translated? I am. Do not fear. I am. It is I. I can calm the storm. And he did. I can make you not afraid. And he did. We fear what we cannot control when the storms come into our life and we're the ones battered by the wind and the waves and we see things that are beyond our power to do anything about. We have to hear the voice of Jesus say, I am. Do not be afraid. He who has the power to stand right in the middle of a tropical storm and say, peace, be still. And it would. Do not fear. God is on his throne. He has not lost control. He's on his throne. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, walking by sight causes us to focus on the wrong things. When we focus only on what we can see, then we've lost sight of what's most important. When we walk by sight, We see the problem. We don't see the solution. When we walk by sight, we see the trial. We don't see the outcome. When we walk by sight, we just see this one battle that we're fighting. We don't see the whole war. And so Paul said, don't walk by sight. Walk by faith, and then you'll see what God's doing. You'll see God working. You'll see God answering your prayers. You'll see God's still in control. Do not fear. Stop trying to control what you can't. Don't be afraid. God's on His throne. In my judgment, we sang this morning one of the most underrated lyrics in all of the hymn book. And sometimes you miss it because of the music. Some morning yonder we will cease to ponder over things this life has brought to view. All those things that kept us up late at night, that caused us to worry and fret. Some morning, not only will we not think about them anymore, we'll wonder, why did I ever care about that in the first place? Do not fear. What causes us to fear? Number three, we fear being alone. We fear being alone. In John chapter 14, the hearts of Jesus' disciples are now troubled. Because He has told them, I'm going away. They had been together in such close quarters for over 3 years, sharing meals, traveling, sharing quarters. And now He says, I'm leaving. And so He said in verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So He comforted them by saying, I'm going away. But it's just for a time. I'm going to prepare a place and then I'll come again. But look what He said in verse 27, anticipating another emotion. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. I'm going away. Well, Jesus, are you just going to abandon us? How can we go on without you? How are we going to have the strength to do this on our own? Do not fear. For He would tell them before His ascension, I am with you always. Do not be afraid. God is with you. He's not called you to do something by yourself or to fight some battle alone. Don't be afraid. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, when He says, let your conversation be free from the love of money, being content with what you have. I always thought it was abrupt subject change that he would then say, for he himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. But do you see why he would say that then? Be content with what you have. Is this not enough? I'm with you always. Do you need any more than that? Is that not enough to cause you to not be fearful? To remember he's not called us to a spirit of fear or timidity? Don't be afraid. I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. Sometimes older people will fear being alone. And as I found out with my mom, she was just afraid of dying alone. She didn't want to die in her house by herself. And she feared that. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why not? For you are with me. Psalm 23 and verse 4. I will not fear, for even in the darkest valley, you are with me. Do not fear. God is with you. It is a familiar refrain for a reason. Even godly people are tempted to be afraid. And so hear the words of the Master today and be comforted when he says, do not fear. I know. I can. I am with you. The scriptures also tell us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Hebrews 10 and verse 31. To be unprepared for our meeting with God should cause us fear. It should be a terrifying thought that we would not be ready. You want to talk about fear of missing out? How about missing out on eternity in heaven? Be motivated this morning by the fear of the Lord to respond to His invitation to come to Him. By confessing your faith and being baptized this morning, and beginning a relationship with Him all the days of your life. If you need the prayers and comfort of your brothers and sisters here, let's walk in the fear of the Lord together. And from this day, do not fear what mere man can do to us. If we can assist you, answer Zion's call while we stand, while we sing.
Please be seated.
This is our brother Andrew Maldonado, and he is of his own accord wanting to make certain that the church knows how sorry he is for the actions of the last few weeks. He has prayed to God privately and begged his forgiveness, but he sinned in such a way that it was very public, and he wants you to know how sorry he is. He is one of our new brothers who is trying as best he can and wants to do what is right, but the devil is also active. And so we want to pray for Andrew and his strength and the decisions that are ahead that will affect him and his family. And remember that we're praying to one who is in control and who hears and cares about the petitions of his people. So let's go to God now and pray on Andrew's behalf. Father, we are made to wonder for your mercy and long suffering for us. For the times we decide that we're going to leave the world and then go back where we came from. And over again, you shower us with your grace and mercy. We thank you for the heart of repentance that Andrew has shown, and we thank you for your loving kindness for him and forgiving him of all his transgressions. Help us, Father, as his spiritual family, to support and encourage him and to be encouraging to his family as well. And we pray, Father, for the outcomes, for the favorable outcomes of decisions in the future, that they will not only be best for what is good for Andrew and his family, but will ultimately honor and glorify your name. And we thank you for hearing our prayer through Jesus, who came to seek and save the lost. Amen.
If you would be standing, we'll sing one verse of number 479, after which we'll be led in our final prayer.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, We're so thankful that we can call upon you as our Father in heaven, and that you will hear our petitions. We're so thankful for your love and mercy and grace. We give you praise and glory and thanksgiving. We are so thankful always for the gift of your Son and for your precious word. Father, we pray that you would help us to learn better how to walk by the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We pray for our brother who has come forward. Help us to be mindful of him, not only in our prayers, but also in our hugs and handshakes and communications with him, that we love him. And help us to build one another up and follow after things that make for peace and things whereby we can edify one another. And Father, help us to learn better how to walk by faith and not by sight. Help us to realize every hour of every day of your promise that you would always be with us and never forsake us. Help us, Father, to realize that there's no need for us to fear. We should not fear anyone who can harm us if we do that which is good and right. Know that you're always there. And if we must suffer for righteousness' sake, help us to accept that gladly. Not be afraid of any terror. Not be afraid of any fear or any troubled. But help us, Father, to sanctify you in our hearts. And be ready always to give an answer for those that ask us a reason of the hope that is within us, yet with meekness and with fear. We thank you for this hour that we've spent with the Lord's Supper and the good lesson that we've heard. And we pray that you'd be with us tonight, Father, as we look forward to coming together again, that we may be strengthened in your faith that you have revealed. We ask this prayer and we give you praise and glory and thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen.